Ecclesiastes chapter 9. What an encouragement that testimony was, wasn't it? The Hancocks, great. Lord bless you. Great. Ecclesiastes 9, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. Don't you want things that are better? Everybody wants things that are good, but I'd like to have things that are better. And I'd like for my children to be better. They'd like for their parents to be better. Amen. Yeah, right. Wisdom is better. This lesson will encourage you, as it's from God's Word here, as all of them will. And this, if you're visiting with us today, great to have you here. And our sixth lesson in this series, this is the second half of the sermon of the Ecclesiastes that Solomon gives. And Solomon, we've talked about for many weeks, but Solomon ruling Israel, ruling God's people at the very pinnacle of their history. And he had everything. He had everything. And he looked at life and examined everything that he had done, and we've looked and seen and heard his warnings and listened to his exhortation. And here he gives us the statement that wisdom is better. As a matter of fact, he gives it twice in this passage of Scripture. If you look at we'll look at several passages of Scripture, have your Bible handy this morning, but if you look right there at your Sunday school lesson, let's say the Scripture memory verse together, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14. We'll say the verse, and then we'll finish with the reference, Proverbs 3, verse 13 and 14. You read it aloud with me, please. The Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold." Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. Wisdom is better. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at verse 13, if you would, please. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered the same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And here you see, you want to take the time to mark it in your Bible if you're in the habit of marking your Bible. I trust you are. In verse 16, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than strength. And then in verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Proverbs, Solomon says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. And that's what Solomon's talking about here. Wisdom is better. And strength is admired in our world today. And I'm glad we think about our country and grateful for the great country that we live in. And I'm glad we're in the middle of this war, and I'm glad we're strong, and I'm glad we have a strong military. I'm glad for all of that. But I'm more grateful that we have a God that we can depend on. And as we heard the testimony clearly given this morning, God is faithful and he is able. And all the preparation and all the strength and the buildup and all that, God says wisdom is better. There's another very interesting story. Take the time to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel 20, and you'll find a story that's very similar to this example that Solomon gives us in Ecclesiastes. Don't know if you're familiar with this story, not one that you hear often. Sheba, there's a man named Sheba who was rising up against David. And we're talking about wisdom is better and the wisdom that God can give people. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1, and there happened to be there a man of Belial whose name was Sheba. Nice reputation. The son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. So this man Sheba is rising up against David. And Joab, David's general, is going to go after him. And that's where we pick up in verse 16. If we skip over a few verses, and Joab's chasing after Sheba, and there's some very interesting things. When you get on your own, take the time to read 2 Samuel chapter 20. And great Bible story there. But in verse 16, let's back up to maybe verse 14. And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel. So this Sheba's fleeing Joab. And he comes to this little town called Abel and to Bethmaachah and all the Barites. And they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. So here you have Sheba hiding in this little town called Abel, and Joab surrounding it and going to destroy the city. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And I'm trying to picture this woman in my mind. And she says, "Hold on a minute, Joab, just a minute here." Now, I suspect there were men in this city, but this is a wise woman. Isn't that encouraging, gentlemen? Lord using this wise woman. And amen, that's right. A good place to say amen, he says. And she says, "Here, here," say, and I'm reading that and I'm thinking, man, I'd like to see that woman. As Pastor said, if you get his full-length book and read it, he said, "I'm not sure I'd like to be married to her, but I'd like to see her." At any rate, "Here, here, say, I pray you, Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he said, "I am he. Yes, ma'am." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, "They were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel. And so they ended the matter. I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. But a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." And she went back in, got with all the men and the people of the city and said, "Look, we want to save the city? We're going to find Sheba. We're going to cut his head off and we'll throw it over the wall." And that's exactly what happened. And saved the city. A wise woman. A wise woman. She spared the entire city. Wisdom is better. Now, not for Sheba it wasn't, but Sheba had it coming. But wisdom is better. A wise woman. And that's similar to the story we read right here. As Solomon's giving a story about a city that was being besieged, and a poor wise man saved it. Wisdom. See in your lesson right there. Wisdom provides moral discernment to make right decisions in life. Proverbs chapter 4. And make note to take the time to take a Bible concordance and go through. If you just went through the book of Proverbs and read all about wisdom, over 50 references to wisdom in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, God's word says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Pastor says often, you can live many days and make bad decisions. If you have a long life and make bad decisions, then your life is wasted. Your influence is wasted. But you could live short days. You could have a short life. And history is filled with people that lived who we would say, humanly speaking, their life was cut short, but they made good decisions and they gave their life wholly to the Lord, and their influence lives on. And it's about decisions, it's about wisdom that God can give us. And wisdom, the Bible has much to say it, over 500 references to wisdom and wise in God's Word. And God's Word has much to say about it. And here he's saying wisdom is better. And our decisions can affect things for years and years to come. And may the Lord give us wisdom and understand that wisdom is better. Now let's look at three things that this lesson points out specifically for us today, and we'll get from Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and other portions of God's Word. First, we see the prayer for wisdom. The prayer for wisdom. James chapter 1, probably to most of you a familiar passage of Scripture. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. You remember Solomon, who's penning, giving us this message right here in Ecclesiastes, back in 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3 is where we're introduced to Solomon asking for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6, and Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day." And this is many years now before Solomon's penning these words that we're reading in this message of Ecclesiastes. But he's getting something from God. In verse 7, 1 Kings chapter 3. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Down to verse 12. God says to him, Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. That's what we're to pray for, the prayer for wisdom. And that's what Solomon says to us right here. The 90th Psalm, the oldest of the Psalms, Psalm of Moses. And he says in Psalm 90 in verse 12, one of my very favorite verses. You hear it quoted often around here. So teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The prayer for wisdom. It's so easy to waste a moment, waste an hour, waste a day, waste a life. Do you ever stop and think you don't have to do anything to waste your life? You don't have to do anything. You just have to let it pass and not seek wisdom from God. And that's what Solomon is challenging us here with, the prayer for wisdom. Jesus, the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus increased in wisdom and in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Christ is wisdom. You see the reference there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Take the time to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Then for the sake of time, we'll just scan down to verse 24 and you'll see this phrase. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, notice this, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You want to pray for wisdom? Then what you're praying for is to become more Christ-like and move closer to Christ. The prayer for wisdom, to be like Jesus, as the song says, to be like Jesus. That's the prayer for wisdom, and Solomon gives us that encouragement right there. Not only do you see the prayer for wisdom, but back here in Ecclesiastes, we see the preciousness of wisdom. The preciousness of wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, please. The preciousness of wisdom. Maybe the most familiar verses in Proverbs chapter 3 are verse 5 and 6, and we quote them often. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Look down in verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Now that's precious. The preciousness of wisdom. God says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And then he goes on to tell about it. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. Better. Wisdom is better. And the gain thereof than fine gold. The verses we have is our memory work for this week. Memory verses for this week. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Now, what in those verses do you not want for your life? Those are things that everyone is seeking. And everyone is looking for, but you don't find them seeking those things. You find them in seeking wisdom and praying for wisdom, because there's a preciousness, the preciousness of wisdom. It's more precious than the most valuable thing that you can imagine. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 11, Solomon says again, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You're thinking of lots of things you'd like to have in your life. I think of lots of things I'd like to have in my life, lots of things I do get to enjoy. But none of them, Solomon says, and he had everything. You understand now, we're talking about a man who had everything, humanly speaking. And he says none of it compares to wisdom. None of it. Wisdom is the principal thing. And if you have the opportunity, and you're in that stage in life where you're rearing children, then you understand what Solomon's talking about here. Nothing take the place of wisdom, make the right choices. You see those young people and a family and the choices that you have to make. Wisdom. Just because you're a Christian, just because I'm a Christian, just because I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, know I'm going to heaven someday, doesn't mean that you're automatically wise and that you make wise choices. A lot of Christian people make foolish decisions. They say foolish things. I heard a man say a long time ago that it's better to keep silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I said, I've made that mistake a few times. Sure have. Sometimes we say things. But God says, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom, Christ in you. And the prayer for wisdom, the preciousness of wisdom, may we seek Him for wisdom every day so we can live a victorious life and make wise decisions. And as we've talked about before in here, you know, some days you know that, Lord, I need you today. I've got tough things to handle today. But, you know, every day we need God. Every day. And the pastor said in the material that's preparation for this lesson, he said, you can plan. When you know things are coming, you can plan for them. That's not what usually gets us in trouble. It's the reaction to the surprises in life. That's when you need God's wisdom and to make wise choices. The preciousness of wisdom. Solomon says there's nothing to compare to it. Wisdom is better. And then finally, let's see the purpose of wisdom as it applies to your life and applies to my life. The purpose of wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Why? Just so you can be wise? No, there's a purpose. Look in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom enables us to understand God and His ways more clearly. You hear a testimony of two fine, faithful Christian people, Hancock's up here this morning, and you know what? You know what they were giving us from years of experience? They were saying so the wisdom that they've attained, and they can understand God more clearly. They can understand God moving. And now they can look back and see things happening in people's lives and say, I see God's hand in that. I see God's hand in that. And that's what wisdom allows us to do as we get it from God and enables us to understand God. You hear the pastor say often, the will of God settles everything. Questions in your life? The will of God settles everything. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. But you know the passage, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Wisdom enables us to understand God and His purposes more clearly. Paul said it this way in Philippians. He said, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And be found in Him is his prayer. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Then he says, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. That's what Paul says, that I may know Him. What was he talking about? The purpose of wisdom and understanding what God is trying to do in your life and in mine. Wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. Where are you in? What stage of life are you in? Some of you have young children, your first young children. Some of you have teenagers about ready to get out of high school and make decisions, go on. Some of you have kids out of high school, in college. So wherever stage, Solomon says, God's Word says, wisdom is better. Wisdom is better. May we seek the Lord for wisdom each day and trust, as His Word says, and the happiness that will bring us and guide us, that our days may be fruitful. Whatever the length of our days is, that they'll be well spent and our influence will live on. May we pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this encouragement from Ecclesiastes about wisdom. And I pray that you'd help us to take it to heart and to take it with us. Now be with our church today. Be with our pastor and bless him. Be with Dr. Hancock as he preached this morning. Thank you for their faithful testimony and the encouragement they were to our class this morning. Give us a good day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.